here with Keenan Mutual Group's Theron Cole. Is Colwell, right?
Yep.
Got it right. Yes, on the first try.
Yeah, with a unique name. That's not common, so good job.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome. So how are you doing? How's the show?
Excellent. Really enjoying the show. It's great to be here.
Yeah, good. What seems to be the topic of conversation in the hallways here that you've been hearing?
What's the buzz? I've just been in doing a lot of meetings, so I've
oh, you haven't been in the hallways.
Not been in the hallways too much yet, unfortunately. Well, but I saw the opening session. Okay. And it's been great so far.
What
so.
Sessions have you been attending that have been?
So I just made the opening session. Besides, external meetings.
Okay,
so.
Gotcha. All right, we won't go there then.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Here's a question for you. What do you want to take away? What do you want to take back to Keenan Mutual Group from this? What are some of your goals here?
Well, it's always great to connect with the wide variety of constituents throughout the credit union industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hearing the voices, the different perspectives, that just helps us do our jobs better.
Yeah.
And so it's just great being out, meeting with people, hearing what's on top of people's minds, and taking it back and helping in your day-to-day work.
Right on, right on. I like that. Hey, let's talk about the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Secondary capital.
Yes.
Explain what's going on here.
So, I think the ingredients are right, where we're finally maybe going to see secondary capital take off a little bit in the credit union system.
Okay.
So a number of things are happening, but maybe first to help is definitions a little bit.
Yes, please.
Because a lot of words have been used synonymously. You hear alternative capital, secondary capital, supplemental capital.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And the NCUA last year, about the spring, did ANPR, where they define those terms a little bit better. So, you know, alternative capital is an umbrella term that they're using now to really say it's any borrowing or debt that counts in net worth or RBC ratio. So that's the umbrella term. Then they defined out what's secondary capital. So secondary capital is, again, debt or borrowing that counts for either RBC purposes or regulatory net worth purposes, but really just for low-income designated credit unions. And supplemental capital is a proposed new form of capital that would help potentially all credit unions if it goes through, but would just help for RBC calculations, not the net worth calculation.
Okay.
So they did a great job in defining the terms, which is helpful. So
no doubt.
Yeah.
And the significance for credit unions for these terms are?
Yes, please. So capital is really the foundation of which asset growth, risk management, and innovation occurs for credit unions. So there's quite a handful of benefits. So first and foremost, it allows you to better manage your growth as a credit union. It also gives you a market insight into the risk of your institution. It's a third-party look at that risk. It will also bring in, promotes innovation that I mentioned, investment. If it's deployed effectively, it can really deliver value and increased efficiency. It allows for more de novo credit unions to help be formed. And it actually reduces systemic risk in the system, because if the capital comes from outside the system, outside the share insurance fund, it net reduces the risk for the credit union system overall as a whole. So there's quite a handful of benefits. Yes,
we want
absolutely.
Low risk, yes.
Yeah, so lots of benefits.
Nice, nice. So all this is happening right now. I mean, how can they take advantage of this? I mean, are there certain steps they need to take, or?
Yeah, so a number of things. I think the ingredients are really right now for a number of reasons. First, more credit unions than ever before are eligible for secondary capital. Remember that defined term that we had talked about. So you have to be a like-you designated credit union. So from 2008 to 2015, we've gone from, 2008 to 2017.
Okay, last year.
Yeah, to last year, that time period. We started off in 2008, only about 15% of credit unions were eligible to take on secondary capital. Now 44% of all credit unions can really take on.
How come, what's the big jump?
The big jump is the number of credit unions that qualified and got the like-you designation.
Okay.
So that's really increased demand. With that, a number of larger credit unions have also gotten that designation. So there's now over 400 credit unions with more than 200 million assets that have that capability, and over 40 credit unions with over 2 billion in assets that can take on secondary capital. So that's increasing demand on that front. So more credit unions are eligible.
Yeah.
The other great thing is the market environment. So interest rates are relatively low.
Still.
So the Treasury is hovering around 2.8%. And then at the same time, the spread at which the interest rate that's charged on secondary capital, that spread is fairly tight right now when you look at this is very common in the bank market. So mm-hmm. it's about 430 basis points to the Treasury. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lower interest rate environment and a tightening spread, which mm-hmm. makes the capital more attractive.
Yeah, no doubt.
Another thing is credit unions have had really strong asset growth and loan growth. In fact, for the last 5 years, it's been 10% plus. Mm-hmm. So balance sheets are filling up. There's still room for credit unions to grow, but there's an inherent limit without an alternative capital, like secondary capital. Mm-hmm. Credit unions can only grow sustainably as fast as their ROE. If you grow faster than that, it'll move your capital ratio down over time. So it makes secondary capital more attractive.
Yep.
And then the last component to the risk is there's proposed regulatory changes. The NCUA came out with their ANPR on alternative capital mm-hmm. last year. They're mm-hmm. open to kind of reforming and getting comments back. Hopefully we'll hear from an NPR pretty soon, the next step. And so the regulatory environment is starting to shift a little bit. Mm-hmm. So those all make for the perfect ingredients of more interest in secondary capital. And
how do credit unions, how do they qualify for designation? Is there a form they need to fill out, or?
Great question. So for a low-income designated credit union, you have to prove that 50.01% of your members fall below an income threshold in what's called a statistical area that you serve.
Mm-hmm.
But for many credit unions, as you can see, with 44% qualifying,
that's a big jump.
It's something that its members, credit unions, are serving every day anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a study that's done.
Okay. Are becoming more aware of this, or because I'm still astounded by the jump in credit unions that are now qualified.
Yeah,
for
I think
lack of a better term.
I think they're becoming slightly more aware. There's okay. other benefits to the low income designation as well.
Yeah.
Not only does it provide you the opportunity to have secondary capital, but there is also benefits from the MBL rules mm-hmm. and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some awareness, but I think that's what credit unions, if I were to say what's needed for this to really start to take off, I would encourage credit unions to keep learning about this and increasing the awareness.
Yeah.
Do some modeling. What would secondary capital look like on your balance sheet?
Yeah.
You can use your ALM model to do that.
Yeah.
I think many credit unions would find it very accretive to do that, so I'd encourage credit unions to do that. And I think mm-hmm. there's also education on the investor side of the market. The capital has to come from outside the credit union system,
mm-hmm.
and we need to kind of educate investors that credit unions are a good investment. And I think they are. It's just a lack of awareness.
They've proven they're
good. Yeah, so there's
solid.
A great example in that. So investors want to make sure they get paid back and they like stability.
Mm-hmm.
When you look from 2008 to 2017, three times more banks failed than credit unions. So I think credit unions make a great risk-reward trade-off for investors. And
we're
so
a conservative lot, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So and that bodes well for our future and long-term. So
Yeah. Excellent.
Very cool. Anything else to add to wrap up? This
no.
is good stuff. Good
no.
stuff.
Any other questions on it?
That should be it.
Perfect.
All right, Darren.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the education.